Hello and welcome to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Today's episode is being sponsored by Prize Picks. Iran and Israel have been at each other's throats for decades now, but it wasn't always this way. As a matter of fact, after Israel was formed in the late 1940s, Iran actually did recognize their sovereignty. In 1979, things started to go downhill when a new president came into power inside of Iran that refused to recognize Israel as a legitimate nation. In the two decades following that, in the 80s and 90s, Iran and Israel were essentially in some type of a Cold War status. And remained that way all up into the 2000s when things really started spinning out of control, particularly with guys like Ahmadinejad coming into power inside of Iran. And it all culminated on Monday when Israel decided it'd be a good idea to drop a bomb on the Iranian consulate inside Syria.
Now, the media has portrayed this as a strike of the Israeli military against the Iranian military, which is factual, but it also is a little out of context. What would be a more accurate statement is that the Israeli military struck an Iranian sanctioned terrorist organization that falls underneath their military as the IRGC. This is straight from the U.S. Department of State's website of designated foreign terrorist organizations. April 15th, 2019, highlighted here on your screen. The Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC, is listed.
Now, most people are familiar with Iran being the world's largest state sponsor of terror, giving hundreds of millions of dollars annually to organizations such as Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Houthis. But what if I told you that Israel's Mossad, their intelligence agency, actually has been accused of doing very similar things? In 2007 and 2008, the Central Intelligence Agency here in the United States of America was actually looking into whether or not Mossad intelligence agents were over in London pretending to be U.S. Central Intelligence Agency officers. We know this from a series of memos that came out of the last 2 years of the Bush administration that got put into the American intelligence archives in Washington, D.C. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but in an article published by Foreign Policy Magazine from January of 2013, they actually start talking about an investigation that went on underneath the Bush administration. Throughout the investigation, it was discovered that Israel intelligence agents actually did, in fact, travel to London and pretend to be members of the US CIA. But why would they do that? According to leaked intelligence reports, it would seem like Israeli intelligence was attempting to recruit members of a terrorist organization known as the Jundala, who operates primarily in Iran. Now, Jundala started around 2003 and has a strong stance against the current Iranian government. As a matter of fact, the night following Israel's attack on the Iranian consulate in Syria, Jundala actually went out and attacked the IRGC in eastern Iran, taking out a munitions depot, and they attacked multiple police stations, killing dozens of police officers in Iran. Now, if you're asking yourself why at the early onset of hostilities would Israel be looking at working with Jundala, you need to rewind the clock 1 year back to 2002. You see, in 2002, Israel actually found a ship floating off in the Mediterranean Sea filled with weapons that were coming over from Iran. Now, Israel did, in fact, receive intelligence that that ship did exist and it was delivering weapons to the Palestinian Authority. So they raided it out in the Mediterranean about 500 miles off of Gaza's coast. The Palestinian Authority denied that those weapons were being delivered to them from Iran and instead pointed the finger towards Hezbollah. If you're asking yourself why Iran would deliver weapons to the Palestinian Authority, it's because it was during the Second Intifada, which lasted a little over 4 years, where the Palestinians rose up against the Israeli government. Iran was funding proxy forces back then in order to overthrow the Israeli government. Now, that wasn't the only time that Iran actually got caught delivering weapons to terrorist organizations across the Middle East. In November of 2009, Israelis raided another cargo ship floating off in the Med. This time it was, in fact, heading for Hezbollah. Now, on that ship, they found a crap ton of weapons. They found 9,000 mortars, 107mm Katyusha rockets, 665 rocket fuses, 622mm rockets, 100 F1 fragmentation hand grenades, and over 500,000 rounds of AK-47 ammunition. Now, if you're asking yourself, why would Iran be sponsoring Hezbollah in this manner? It's because, simply put, Hezbollah doesn't recognize Israel, and they want Israel gone. It's the same exact reason Iran funds the Houthis. They don't like Israel. A couple months ago, U.S. Navy SEALs actually boarded a vessel that was bound for Yemen over in the Gulf of Aden. And what they discovered aboard that ship was weapons components that came directly from Iran that were heading into Yemen. Unfortunately, two U.S. Navy SEALs lost their lives during that operation by falling off the ship and into the water. And of course, there is more instance than that over time, but I just felt like I'd touch on some of the most recent and some of the highlights of them as well. Now I'm gonna take you back to 2005 when Ahmadinejad came in power. You see, whenever you have a large group of people such as you have in Iran that hate Israel, they gotta have a leader that reinforces their thoughts. And that's where Ahmadinejad came in. Over the years, Ahmadinejad has called for the complete and total destruction of Israel. He doesn't even recognize the Holocaust, and he blames Israel being established on Western nations, particularly Europe. He believed that if Europeans wanted the Israelis to have their own land so bad, they should have given up some of their own and they shouldn't have stole it from the Palestinians. Those are his words, not mine. In 2006, Ahmadinejad actually said in an international conference that Israel will soon be wiped out the way that the Soviet Union was and that humanity will regain its freedom. In 2008, he described the Zionist regime as a stinking corpse and said it was well on its way to annihilation. In 2012, he said that the ultimate goal of the world's forces should be the annihilation of the Zionist regime. He took it to another step, trying to rally the world up to get rid of Israel. In 2013, he said Israel has no place in the region and that soon there'd be a massive storm that wipes out Israel. And ever since then, Iran has been backing up terrorist organizations across the Middle East in order to surround Israel and take it out. So I'm certain that on April 1st, when Israel saw that the IRGC was meeting up with members of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad inside of the consulate, they looked at it as a way to take out two enemies with one stone. Israel essentially feels like it's been surrounded by enemies its entire life. Today, inside of the Gaza Strip, they are facing numerous terrorist organizations, to include Hamas, all which are being funded by Iran. If you zoom out and you start looking, you will come across the West Bank on the eastern side of Israel. Again, more terrorist organizations with funding flowing in from Iran. Zoom out a little bit further and you can start seeing the Lebanese and Syrian borders. Again, more terrorist organizations which are funded by Iran, specifically Hezbollah, which has over 100,000 fighters who Iran gave the green light to go in and attack Israel should Israel decide to invade Rafah. Inside of Iraq, you have more jihadists who are funded by Iran, and those jihadists are known to leave Iraq and go into Syria in order to attack Israel. And down at the very bottom of the map, you can see Yemen, where Iran funds the Houthis, who also attack Israel from their own soil. Now, Israel has arguably one of the most advanced militaries in the Middle East and is a key strategic ally for the United States of America. But it only sits about 1,000 kilometers away from the Iranian border. Several people on the world stage are also worried that Iran may have already developed a nuclear weapon and say that even if they do have one, it might be a weak one, but nonetheless, they have a nuclear weapon. The IAEA does not think that Iran is quite up to that stage yet, but could develop it in just a couple months if they put their minds to it. Now, aside from Israel facing a possible nuclear threat from inside of Iran, they also have a more near proximity threat that they have to worry about inside of Lebanon, which would be Hezbollah. Hezbollah has been working with the IRGC as well as the Syrian military inside of Syria since about 2015. It was then that the IRGC and Hezbollah began to work very closely together at a munitions production facility in northwest Syria. Israel and the United States both believe that that is where chemical weapons have been produced in the past and that Hezbollah has been charged with moving chemical weapons around the country.
So now that you know a decent amount of history about what happened between Israel and Iran, the real question is what Israel did on Monday, April 1st, legal? Is it legal for Israel to bomb the Iranian consulate? Well, most people will refer to the Vienna Convention on Consular Relations. It was drafted in 1963. Article 5 covers the consular functions, i.e. the building that Israel struck was a consulate building. They should be doing consular activities within that building. Let's take a look at what some of the functions are of a consular. Protecting and receiving the state of interest and sending the state of its nationals, furthering the development of commercial, economic, cultural, scientific, ascertaining by all lawful means, conditions, and developments of commercial, issuing passports, helping, assisting nationals, acting as a notary, and the list goes on. Now, we can read through the entire list of consular functions that's outlined in the Vienna Convention, but I promise you, nowhere does it state have a meeting with a foreign terrorist organization to plot an attack on a sovereign nation. So I hear what you're saying, Matt. You're right. That is what they're supposed to be doing out of that location. However, doesn't the Vienna Convention also offer them some sort of legal protections like the embassy and the consulate are completely and totally off limits? So Article 27 of the Vienna Convention actually goes over whether or not, even at a time of armed conflict, the hosting nation is allowed to attack an embassy or a consular building. Paragraph 1A, the receiving state shall, even in the case of armed conflict, respect and protect their consular premise together with the property of the consular post and the consular archives. You know, with all the madness going on in the world today, it can be very easy to get caught up in it. You need to do something fun. Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. If you're a fan of sports, you definitely need to check it out. They make it so easy. You can pick Stephen Curry for more than 29 points or Nikola Jokic for more than 10. Now, if you want to try this out, you got to download the app today and use code ROB for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's right. If you download the app today and use code ROB for the first deposit match of up to $100. If you're ever worried about trying stuff like this out and you don't want to get involved in something new, here's a great opportunity. You can easily double your money with a first deposit match. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Prize Picks. So we know the IRGC inside of the consulate was not fulfilling their diplomatic responsibility or fulfilling consular functions. We know that on the Saturday and Sunday leading up to the attack that members of the IRGC were meeting up with members of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad discussing the war in Gaza. But what about on the day of the strike itself? To quote a recent article from the New York Times, a member of the Revolutionary Guards, which oversees the Quds Force, told the Times that the strike on Monday had targeted a meeting in which Iranian intelligence officials and Palestinian militants were discussing the war in Gaza. Among them were the leaders of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, a group which is armed and funded by Iran. Yuval Shani, he is an international law professor at Hebrew University in Jerusalem. He says, embassies are protected from the use of force in armed conflict, not primarily because they are embassies, but because they are civilian objects. An embassy is looked at as a civilian object, and that's why it's not targeted in international conflict. Well, what do we know about those types of targets during armed conflict? If they are being used for military purposes, if they have hostile intent, if you can prove that, then it becomes a valid military target and it can be struck. Doesn't matter the nation it's in. And I can say that because of the global war on terror. Look at the amount of strikes the United States has done inside of sovereign territory of other countries. Now, this website, dni.gov, is from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Now, on a portion of that website, it covers foreign terrorist organizations, particularly the IRGC. And if you scroll down to the bottom of it, you can see that Hussein Salami, one of the officers that was killed inside of the consulate building when Israel conducted the airstrike, is one of the key leaders. He is at the top of the list. Now that we understand the full scope of what was going on inside of the consulate building, it is understandable why Israel would choose to target that building. They had two of their enemies meeting up, presumably to plan attacks, and I bet you they have intelligence to back that up as well. If you want to know how we got to the point where Israel just bombed the Iranian consulate, it's important to understand that a designated terrorist organization was using diplomatic cover to meet up with another foreign terrorist organization to presumably plot attacks on sovereign Israeli territory. If anything, fingers need to be getting pointed at Iran, asking them why are they meeting up with foreign terror organizations inside of a diplomatic building in another country? They knew what they were doing. They knew that they were trying to use that building for diplomatic cover. The same way terrorists used civilians as human shields. That is specifically what the IRGC was doing with the Palestinian Islamic Jihad when Israel targeted them. And at the end of the day, nothing takes away from Israel's right to self-defense. They have more than enough evidence over time to back up that the IRGC has been plotting attacks and funding attacks on sovereign Israeli territory. So what makes this any different? As it would seem, legally speaking, according to international law, there was nothing barring Israel from attacking that particular building because it lost its protected status under the rules of armed conflict. And Israel is not bound by the Vienna Convention. It only applies to the host nation and the nation in question that is being hosted. It has nothing to do with third parties. If you are really concerned with tensions between Iran and Israel, fingers need pointed at Iran. They have been speaking out since the late 1970s about wanting the complete and total destruction of Israel. They refuse to recognize its sovereignty, and they've taken drastic action in the previous 20 years in order to get rid of the Israeli state. No nation on earth should be subject to that. Our nation needs to do a better job about speaking up on foreign terrorist organizations, specifically the ones that we have listed on the FTO list, such as the IRGC. We cannot allow them to use diplomatic cover to plot terrorist attacks. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. If you like what you saw, don't forget to like and subscribe to this channel. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, peace, love, happiness, and God bless. I'm out of here.